Today on Real Life Radio.
When you say Lord, you don't have to say yes. Because if I'm a Christian and if I'm a disciple, my Lord, whatever he requires, the answer's already yes. Are you with me? That's the way that it is. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord not at all.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called How to Follow Jesus. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could. Here, towards the end of chapter 5, Jesus meets Levi, the tax collector, who later is known as Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples. You see, the Jewish community did not associate with tax collectors. They were considered part of the Roman Empire, and they were hated by their fellow Jews. But Jesus looked into the face of Matthew, Levi, as if he was peering into his very soul. Then Jesus spoke to him and said, "Come and follow me." So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that Matthew Levi left everything behind to follow Jesus. His encounter with Jesus changed everything for him. He even gave Jesus a great feast at his own expense to show his true expression of his commitment to follow him. Now, in his message called How to Follow Jesus, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, I ask, Lord, in your holy and precious name that you would descend upon us and cause your word to come up off the page, as it were, and seize our hearts. Father, we pray that we would be different for having spent time with you today. We pray, Father, that those of us who are Christians, we would be excited to renew our commitment to follow you. And Lord, for perhaps those that are here this morning that have never truly decided to follow you, that they would decide today to do that. Lord God, in this world of so much wrong and strange things and distractions, may the gospel, may your Holy Spirit, may truth invade our souls. We ask it, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you grab your Bibles? And if you don't have a Bible, the ushers would love to give you a Bible this morning. Raise your hand if you need one, and they'll be sure to give you one this morning. We're in Luke chapter 5. Turn there if you would. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 35. And the title of the message this morning is How to Follow Jesus. How to Follow Jesus. And this is a challenging message to us because what we learn from the life of Matthew Levi is quite provoking to us because he's an example of what a true disciple is all about. Now, this morning we might say that we are following Jesus, but is that a reality in our lives? Are we really Christians? Listen, you can't be a Christian and not follow Jesus. Do you understand that? You can't say one thing and do another. To be a true Christian, and God knows the answer, to be a true Christian is to be somebody who follows Jesus. It's interchangeable. Christian, disciple. It is to follow Christ. Jesus is the reason why we would sit at his feet and be taught by him. To be taught by Jesus, that is out of the Bible, through the Word of God, is to become one of his followers. The very word implies and requires of us to not only take it in, but to live it out. To live out what we've been taught is to be a disciple. And so when we name the name of Christ, we are actually saying, I am one who follows Jesus. And so as we think about that, there are so many, you know, how-to books in the world. My goodness, you can walk across the way over here to Borders. And what are you going to learn at Borders? Among many things, they have so many books. But Borders has got those, that one section about the how-to books. You know those how-to books? Have you seen them? How to mow your lawn, how to build an airplane, how to whatever. They got a how-to book for everything. And they got a how-to book now on how to study the Bible. I don't know if I'd buy it from a Borders to learn all about that, but best thing to do is get a Bible and start reading it. The Holy Spirit will tell you and show you how to. But there's a lot of how-to books. And if we were to put ourselves this morning right in the feet of Levi, right in the sandals of disciples back in that time, you got to understand something. You would have been growing up under the ownership, as it were, the power of the Roman Empire. The book of Daniel tells us that the Roman Empire would bludgeon the world into submission. It was a great military power, as we all know about. And it was a, by the way, it was an empire that still to this day has never ceased to exist. Did you know that? The Roman Empire has never been defeated. The Roman Empire has never officially been defeated. And of course, the book of Daniel anticipated that in that great prophetic book of the Bible. It just seemed to fragment into the regions of the world. But out of that tremendous power of the Roman Empire, there was this knowledge, this understanding that Rome ruled and that the emperors of Rome were like gods among men. And what Rome ordered, what Rome decreed was law. And if you broke it, it was punishable by death. But listen, Rome also had a massive ego. And Rome, with their ego, believed that everybody wanted to be Roman, that you would pay to become a Roman. If you weren't born a Roman, you'd become a Roman. Remember Paul in our Bible? He was born a Roman. And even a centurion said, "You were born a Roman? I had to pay to become a Roman." It was considered a great thing to be one of the Roman Empire. The downside to the Roman Empire was it perfected its military power and its governing power and its taxation to the point of exploitation. And when it came to taxes, Rome was the best at taxing. I think only America now could show Rome up in its taxation process. But Rome had two key types of taxes. And if you wanted to know how to in Rome, then you had better known the rules and the laws. And if you were traveling down a road, listen to this. If you were traveling down a road, for example, and you didn't know the rules and you didn't know the law and the how-tos of Rome, if you didn't pay certain taxes along the toll road, you would be arrested. You better know when in Rome what to do once you get there. And what happened in Rome extenuated out into the vast regions of the world. And so they had two taxes that other taxes were attached to. Two taxes that you want to keep in mind. There was what's called the poll tax, P-O-L-L. The poll tax, and listen to this. The poll tax was the number one tax. It was so important because this is what it stood for. If you were alive, you had to pay the poll tax. And that tax allowed you to breathe Roman air because they believed they owned it. That poll tax allowed you to exist in the empire because it was a privilege to exist in the empire. You paid the poll tax. Pretty arrogant, but the law nonetheless. The other tax was the ground tax. And this ground tax was very elaborate because it not only covered the ground, it extended beyond the ground. For example, if you paid the ground tax, you paid for the ports and the harbors. You paid for the Roman shipping industry by your taxes. The ground tax paid for the famous Roman roads that you could travel upon. The road like this street that's named out here in front of the church, the Appian Way, was a Roman road, and you can still go on that road today. And you pay taxes to maintain that road. But there are also the ground tax that if you had a cart, watch this, because it really comes home to us today. If you had a cart, you had to pay taxes for how much that car weighed. You had to pay taxes for how many wheels it had. Did it have two axles or one axle? I'm serious. Did it have four wheels or two wheels? Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been on the toll road? What does it say on the toll road? Two-wheeled, two-axle vehicles pay this much. Where did we get that from? From Rome. Not only that, but watch this. People enjoyed having carts pulled by oxen or horses that had four wheels. And then Rome began to tax. So what'd they do? They made two-wheeled carts. But when you didn't want to pay the two-wheeled cart tax, what did you do, anybody? You made a wheelbarrow with one wheel, a little unibarrel, a little wheel. Why? Because they could only tax you on one wheel. You have probably at your house a wheelbarrow, and where did that come from? It came from the taxation of the Roman Empire. Man, we can't pay these taxes. Let's invent something that we can pull around town with one wheel on it. And you have one in your garage or backyard today. They taxed and taxed and taxed. Because of that, anybody who was associated with taxation, the Jews hated them. Couldn't stand them. But for the Romans in all these various countries to get their power across, they would hire people or employ people of the region. In this case, you've got Levi, who is a Jew working for the Roman Empire, and because of that, he was hated and despised. He was hated by his fellow Jews because he was a turncoat, and despised because Rome simply used him. Levi had no place to go. He had nothing, listen everyone, except wealth. He had money, but he wouldn't have had friends unless they were tax collectors. He wouldn't have had anything outside of that realm of influence or that realm of existence. His Jewish heritage would have ostracized him. Listen, by Jewish decree, he was not allowed to fellowship or go to synagogue. He couldn't worship Yahweh of the Bible, the Lord of the Bible. And Rome couldn't stand it because Rome just simply exploited him. He was despised because he was still Jewish. He didn't care because he had money. As long as he had money, he was okay. As long as I've got the money, I'll be all right. And Jesus is going to say, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Matthew Levi knows exactly what that's all about. How to follow Jesus? Look at it with me. Point number one, it is this. Actually, let's read through the scripture together. We'll come back to point one. Luke chapter 5, verse 27, after these things, that is the things of the preceding verses, after these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And so he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Then they said to him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but your disciples eat and drink? And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. Church, jot this down if you would. Our first point under how to follow Jesus, very simple point. It is this: to simply respond to him. Will you jot that down? How to follow Christ. You might be here this morning saying, I want to become a Christian. Where do I sign up? Answer, nowhere. There's no place to sign up. That's not even in the Bible. You don't sign up. You know what you want to do? You want to decide now to simply respond to Jesus who's calling you. And you do that, number one, by listening. How do you respond to Jesus? How do I follow Christ? Number one, you listen to him. And Matthew Levi's life and example is a great thing for us to mimic. Notice with me verse 27. After these things, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. We know later that he becomes actually Matthew Levi, sitting at the tax office. And Jesus said to him, simply this, follow me. There's two key things I want you to look at. It's this word saw and the word follow. The first thing about saw, can you circle it, everybody? This word's pregnant with meaning. In the Greek, the word saw means this, that Jesus gazed at him intently, looked closely at him with a long, deliberate gaze. Another word is used, Jesus peered under the face of Levi. He studied him. So when Jesus walked by, he just didn't walk by and say, hey, Levi, let's go, follow me. Something very amazing takes place here. Jesus walks up and looks at Levi and just looks at him with a stare and with a look that the word means in the Greek, Jesus is gazing upon Matthew's face. Have you ever had anyone do that? In our world, we're just too busy. We don't really do that. It's just not the way we communicate. You know, we are so busy. We say things like, how are you? Fine. And away we go. Now, we really mean to say, how are you? But we're in such a hurry, right? Are we not in such a hurry? We're hoping that you say fine. Because we're going 100 miles an hour this way. How are you? Fine. Even when we're not fine, we still say we're fine. Have you noticed? Christians are very, very prolific liars. How are you? Fine. We're not fine. But because we're all going in certain directions, we don't exercise that much honesty sometimes. It's too bad. Jesus walks by and he stops and he begins to look at Matthew, and it's done in such a way that there is a peering unto the face, or the looking into the soul. Now, it's one thing for a human to look at you that way. And Jesus looks and there's nothing said. He's just looking. And you got to put yourself in Matthew's sandals for a moment. What's going on? what's happening? Maybe he felt a little uncomfortable at first. Jesus kept looking. And somewhere along the way, something had to be communicated. Somehow, Jesus communicated that he's looking into Matthew's heart and soul. Church, listen. And at some point, Matthew must have gone from being uncomfortable to, to, wow, to, yes. Whatever he's going to ask of me, whatever he's going to say, whatever he is going to require, the answer will be yes. You say, Jack, are you nuts? Probably am, but listen to me carefully. The truth of the matter is, have you ever encountered Jesus on some sort of ground like that? Don't get me wrong, I've never seen Jesus. I've never heard his voice. But let me tell you, I don't have to. I know that I'm going to see him face to face in heaven when I get there. You know what? I can read what he says in the Bible, and when I pray, God answers my prayers and speaks to me via the Bible. I've never heard a thundering voice. I've never seen this apparition of Jesus, and then the form looks more clearly and then speaks. I've never seen that. I don't need it. Something happens when God relates to you in a way that whatever the question is, it is yes. I can't explain it. It's a calling, I guess. It's an adoption, sure. It's a revelation, okay. It's an encounter, certainly. Do you know what that's like when Jesus peers into your soul and you can say this morning with Matthew, I heard him, I saw him. It's not that I needed to, but whatever he asked of me, it's done. That's what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. When he sees this incredible flash of light, he falls back off his donkey and he's there on the road. And what does he say? What would you have me to do, Lord? As soon as you say, Lord, the answer is already, yes, God, I'll do anything. Church, do you understand that? When you say, Lord, you don't have to say yes. Because if I'm a Christian and if I'm a disciple, my Lord, whatever he requires, the answer is already yes. Are you with me? That's the way that it is. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord not at all. And so just by manifestation, and he can connect with you and I. And I've got to tell you, he doesn't do it every day. I must confess for me, it's not every day. But I got to tell you, he's never let me down when I've needed him the most. And he'll never let you down. But whatever your question might be for life, the answer is going to be yes. Jesus, yes, whatever you say. I have these questions. And Lord, the answer is yes, Lord. That's the answer for my life. And so we listen to him when he speaks. And Jesus says, follow me. Look at the word there. He's a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax office. He's working. He's at the office working. And Jesus says, follow me. What a great word. The word follow me is a word that means to begin now to go on this path. It means, and it clearly implies that Jesus is on his way somewhere. Church, listen, some of you need to hear this. Jesus is on the move. He's going. And he says to you, follow me. And we are to get up and we're to go. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we get up and go and serve here? Does it mean we get up and go and serve there? That's up to God to speak to you about. But it's to get up and go. Follow me. Jesus is implying, I'm going somewhere, Matthew. Follow me. Did Jesus bend his arm? Did Jesus bribe him? Did Jesus say, look at all the other disciples around me. Why don't you come too? No, it's a personal call. And Matthew knew it. So when Jesus said, follow me, that word also means accompany me. Begin now to be at one with me. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, great verse in the Bible. Amos 3, 3 says, how can two walk down a road together unless they're in agreement? If you ever want to see a living picture of what that verse doesn't mean, is put two kids in the back of the car. Especially a brother and a sister that are close to around about the same age. You know what they inevitably wind up doing? One of them, usually it's the sister, she draws a line down the back seat of the car and says, don't cross this line. And whatever one wants, the other one will fight it. And they'll just go, and it's amazing how they'll argue with one another. They may be going down a road, but they are not in agreement. But oh, how pleasant mom and dad is the trip when they are in agreement or they're fast asleep. It's wonderful. None of this, are we there yet? And all that stuff. You're in agreement. You're going down the road in ministry. For you to continue ministering, you must be in agreement together, going down the same road. If it's a corporation or a company, you must be in agreement going down the road. If you're a husband and a wife, you must be in agreement in going down the road. You work it out. You come to an agreement. And so Jesus is inviting him, come on my path, walk on my road. Let's go. What a great call. And listen, not only by listening, but by acting. We respond to Jesus Christ and his invitation by acting upon what we hear and what we're listening to. It says, so he left all. Will you mark that? Left. So he left all. Number two, he rose up. Number three, he followed him. Something happened in his thinking. Notice the declaration of this. It's not that he followed, rose up, and left everything. It's reversed. It's exactly how God works in our lives. He left all, church, listen, long before he ever rose up. He left all long before he followed. You say, long before? Looks like it happened in an instant. Oh, it happened in an instant. But in the heart of Levi, it was a very powerful moment. Because it is the leaving of all that must take place first. This is his example to us. Look at Matthew, or turn in your Bible, or mark it down. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. And by the way, this is the Matthew. Matthew Levi wrote Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, what is it? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Who said that? Jesus said it, but where is it recorded? Matthew's gospel. Matthew got it. He could have pulled us off to the side today and said, I tell you what, when Jesus called me, I got to tell you right now, it was such an awesome thing. I knew that I was encountering God and that my life was going to be changed forever. Having realized that, I left everything. That's how I was able to get up. I left everything. That's how I was able to follow him. That's what has to happen first. This is the walk, the life of a believer. How do I know I'm a disciple? Lord, I leave all. Because that's true, I'm going to rise up now and I'm going to go. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And herein lies the great rift, the great divide between recreational Christianity and biblical Christianity. Recreational Christianity is, God, I'm going to give you an hour and 15 minutes. And oh, brother, if we go to Calvary Chapel, an hour and 30 minutes, I mean, God knows I'll give Spielberg 3.5 hours a week. But Jesus, maybe he'll get an hour and a half. And that's it. Don't ask anything of me, God, after that. I give you about an hour and a half on my Sunday and just stay out of my life the rest of the week. People think that way. That's religiosity, my friend, by the way. That's professional religious conduct. It's tradition. Not acceptable to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called How to Follow Jesus. You know, this lesson is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. The Mayflower, a brave quest for freedom. And no one can tell the story of our nation's beginning better than New York Times bestselling author Nathaniel Philbrick. The book is called Mayflower, Voyage, Community, War. Vivid and remarkably fresh, Philbrick takes us on an extraordinary journey to understand the truth behind our most sacred myth as a nation, the voyage of the Mayflower, and the settlement of Plymouth Colony. Plymouth Colony was a 50-year epic conflict that ended in peril and eventually war. So how did America really begin? See how Mayflower Voyage Community War by Nathaniel Philbrick captures the events that have shaped our existing communities and the country that would grow from them. Our book of the month, Mayflower Voyage Community War by Nathaniel Philbrick, is yours today for a gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.